Romans chapter 1, I want to talk to you about the gospel. And start off by saying the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I want you to realize that through everything we've been doing this summer, through this mission trip this past week, through the sports camp the week before, and the block party and the strength team, through the adventure camps that were 2 weeks in June and the next 2 weeks here in July, through Vacation Bible School, through Youth Vacation Bible School, and through the backpack ministry. Why do we do this? The only reason we do it, although it's a blessing to keep kids active, it's a blessing to have things for the children, it's a blessing to be able to help parents provide their kids' needs, the real reason we do it is to be a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the reason. That is central to everything we do. I'll never forget going to California for a business trip. And I was supposed to be going to conferences the whole week long, and it started on Saturday, and Sunday morning I woke up and I said, you know, I've got to find a church. There's no way I'm just going to go sit through a bunch of conferences today until I get to church. So I looked in the phone book and found a church. It was downtown San Francisco. Not the easiest thing to find a good, solid, Bible-based church, but I thought maybe I had found one. And I go in, and it was packed in this place. It was right around the corner from my hotel. And I go in there, and there were people of all shapes and sizes, of all different walks of life. And I thought, yes, this is the right place. A diversity of people. You had someone with a mink coat on, hugging the neck of someone who looked like he didn't have a place to sleep. And I thought, this is going to be a great church. And I went through a whole long worship service and sermon, and they never once spoke the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was all about social ministry. They talked about bringing needles out to the drug addicts so that they wouldn't get HIV. They talked about all the social programs they were doing, but none of it was about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I realized then, if I hadn't earlier, I realized especially then that it doesn't matter how many good things a church does. If they're not telling people about Jesus Christ, there's no reason for them to be around. That church, all it was doing was what the government does. They were just another arm of social ministries of the government. If the church doesn't tell about Jesus Christ, then what good is it? Those drug addicts that needed the new needles so they wouldn't get HIV were still going to hell. Do you understand? The people who they were providing food for, they may not have had to suffer as badly in this life, but if they didn't know the gospel, they'd suffer for all eternity after this life. Just band-aids on an open wound. Jesus Christ is the only power that can heal. All these other things are done in His name. Why do we do everything we're doing? Sometimes I wonder what people think. There was a coach. My kids had a coach back at the ball field, and the coach sometimes would just start laughing and go, oh, it's just all for the kids, isn't it? It's all for the kids. Everything, all for the kids. And when I'd have conversations with them about things, it would be all for the kids. I'd think, you know what? No, it's not all for the kids. That's not why we do what we do. We do things for the kids, but it's all for the name of Jesus. It's all for Christ. That was the Apostle Paul. And that's what we see in the New Testament. It's all about Jesus Christ. So this morning, very simply, very quickly, I want you to see in Romans chapter 1 that all who are called to salvation are called to sharing the gospel of Christ. That those who share the gospel of Christ should never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And those who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ will be effective in bringing people the gospel of Christ. Will you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word? Romans chapter 1, the first 16 verses. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, first from last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Lord, I pray today that your word would be active and alive. And Lord, it would be based, we would be based on what it has to say about your gospel. Lord, I pray that everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, all would be for your glory, for your gospel, so that people would know the righteousness that comes from God. And I pray this, Lord, because of your name in Christ. Amen. Will you please be seated? There are so many different things going on in this passage, but this morning I want to just focus on this gospel that the Apostle Paul brings. The salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness that we can have through Christ. Although we are sinners, standing before a holy God, crying out to him, in our sin, we have nothing that would allow us into his presence. And everything because of that sin to cause him to throw us out for all eternity. Because of our sin against a holy God, we deserve damnation and hell. Deserve it. Sometimes people say, well, I deserve, and they always name something good. Have you ever noticed that? I deserve better than this. Not according to the scripture. According to the scripture, I deserve hell. Utter damnation. An eternity set apart from Christ where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth and a lake of fire that never, ever quenches. Always burns. How that could be, I don't ever want to find out. People say, well, how in the world could you have a fire that never consumes? I don't know, but I don't want to know. Because you see, God provided a way out. His gospel, the good news. Gospel means good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. Although, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Gave his life for me as an atonement for my sin. A sacrifice, perfect, unblemished, that could take the wrath of God for me. Jesus Christ poured out his life, sinless, for the sinner. And I only have to accept that. Ask his forgiveness. Be washed clean and know the righteousness of God. So that is the gospel that Paul talks about here. That he talks about all through Romans and the majority of the New Testament over and over and over. You'll hear this over and over and over. But this gospel changes lives. And I want you to see, first of all, that if you come to know that gospel, it's been given to you to share that gospel. All those who come to salvation are called to share this gospel. Look at what the Apostle Paul says about himself. In verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Can I ask you, are you a servant of God? Now, the English here, servant, doesn't even come close to what the Greek means. In the Greek, the servant means bond servant. It was a special type of slave. It was someone who had been a slave, who had been bought by that person and been their slave, and then been given their freedom. But instead of going and being free, they decided they wanted to stay with their master for the rest of their lives. And what they would do is they would go to the town square and go to they had a big pole in the middle of the town square for all those who wanted to be bondservants. And you would take and go up to the pole, and the master would take and put a ring through your ear, punch it through into the pole, and hook a hook in your ear that would show for all the rest of your life that you were a voluntary slave. Not coerced, but a free person who voluntarily became a slave of that master. This is how Paul refers to himself. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, set free and for all eternity, give my life to him to be his slave. Can you describe yourself in that way? Because this is the terminology that we need to be thinking of. Not just, oh, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. No, oh, I surrendered to Jesus as my Lord. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Look in verses 5 and 6. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to do what? To call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Why was Paul set apart? Why was he a bondservant of Christ? To call others to do the same. Set apart as an apostle, someone who would go out and share the gospel. Set apart for the purpose of calling all the nations. Come to God. Come to Christ. Have your sins washed clean. Know the good news. Know that you don't have to die in your sins. Know that you don't have to be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. Know that there can be joy and peace in this life and for all eternity in the next. And verse 6, he includes the rest of us. He's writing to those in Rome, but this applies to you and I just as well. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. So I ask you again, have you heard the call of God? Have you responded to that call, surrendering your life to him? Have you gone to the square in the center of your heart and given God your ear and said, Lord, I am yours. Make me your servant for the rest of my life. Is he yours? And are you his? If you can't answer yes to that, then the rest of this sermon really won't apply to you. But if you do answer yes, if he is your Savior and Lord, if you know that you are his and he is yours, then the rest of this sermon applies to you. You were called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that gospel has taken root in your life, if you have seen the fruit of that gospel come forth, if you have seen the peace and the joy of Christ, if you have surrendered and you see the revelation of God every day, each and every day, through different ways, if you can go to His Word and feel the tug of God on your heart, then know this. Your purpose is to share that with others. It's an amazing thing that we don't understand this. It's a bizarre, unnatural thing that we think that we can experience all that Christ has for us and yet not tell others about it. It's unnatural. It's not something that comes easy for us. We have to shut our mouths. We have to hope that no one asks us about Christ. We have to go out of our way to not share the gospel. Here's how I can prove it. The last time you ate at a good restaurant, got you excited, didn't it? I mean, there's plenty of good restaurants in New Orleans. Did you go tell anybody about it? The last time you saw a great football game. Saints played some really good football the last few years. Did you share that with anybody? The last time you saw a TV program or read something on the internet or watched a movie that got you excited, that you thought was a wonderful thing. Ladies, last time you found a great recipe. Did you show it to anybody? I'd say probably yes. 90% of the time, when we experience something that lifts us up, when we experience something that's fun and joyful, when we experience something that's intense and emotional, we have to tell people about it. To be called of God, set apart for His purpose, and keep your mouth shut about Him smacks totally against the grain. It may mean that you're not His servant. Those called to salvation are called to share the gospel, and those called to share the gospel are not ashamed of the gospel. Look at verse 16 again. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Why aren't you ashamed of the gospel, Paul? The gospel. That Jesus Christ came, King of kings and Lord of lords, that the Messiah that we've waited was crucified on a cross? Why wouldn't that be shameful? Paul, you don't understand. This is the greatest shame you could ever have. That you're walking around telling people about a convicted... What was he convicted of? A convicted man. And declaring him your Savior. When's the last time somebody came out and even wanted to talk about a friendship with somebody who had been put away for life in prison? And yet you want to come forward and talk about a man who was publicly executed and put your faith in him? You should be ashamed. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, no one will know joy, no one will know peace if they don't know Christ. I'll never forget, before I came to Christ, there was this bumper sticker that I saw all over the place. I don't see it at all anymore, so I think God was just trying to open my eyes. But the bumper sticker had N-O on one side and K-N-O-W on another. And it would have a big N-O, and then it would say, joy, peace, no, N-O, joy, no, peace. And then on the right side, K-N-O-W, no, Jesus was the top word. No joy, no peace. Without Jesus, oh, actually, it was no Jesus, no joy, no peace. No Him, no Jesus, no joy, no peace. Can you see it? Can you picture it? And I used to look at it and laugh. You know why I laughed? Not because I knew joy and peace. Because I didn't think anybody knew joy and peace. I had never experienced in my entire life true joy and true peace. I had experienced happiness. I had experienced tranquil moments, staring off into the sunset, where I felt calmness. But I knew what they were talking about. I knew they were talking about some joy and peace down in my deepest soul. And I said, no one experiences that. It doesn't exist. Then I met my future wife and tried to make sure she didn't have any joy and any peace. Did everything I could to make her miserable because she had this joy and this peace that would bubble over, and she told me it was all Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Through it, people know true joy, true peace, true life. Why would I ever be ashamed of that? Why would I ever hold back telling someone about that? Why would I let someone in their total misery go straight to hell without me trying to reach out, grab them by the legs, and pull them away from that pit? The gospel is something that all believers are called to share. The gospel is something that all believers are called to not be ashamed of. And the great news is, when we're not ashamed, the gospel is amazingly effective. You want to be an effective witness? Don't be ashamed of your Savior. You want to be an effective witness? Live as a bondservant to Him. Be ashamed of the things of the world. Be ashamed of all those things that the world tells you you're supposed to be proud of. Be ashamed of the filth and immorality that is in your heart. Be ashamed of that. But be strong in the Lord and the power He has to change that, to bring you out of that. My feet were in the miry clay, the psalmist said, but you set me on the rock. Let the Lord set you on the rock of salvation through Christ Jesus. Tell people about that rock. Don't be ashamed and see that power at work. In verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Why, Lord? Why, Paul? Why are you thanking the Lord for these people? What is it about them? He says, because your faith is being reported all over the world. I love the way the Apostle Paul talks about these churches. He tells the people in Rome, everybody knows you. Your faith is being reported all over the world. He tells the people in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians, I don't have to tell people about you because all have heard about your faith. How you turned away from idols to the living God. Do you know the faith of this church is broadcast throughout the world? Do you realize that? What an amazing thing. Because why? Because I'll tell you what, because I brag on you all the time. Anywhere I go, I'm going to tell them about the Lord, and I'm going to tell them about this church. What God is doing here. How He is changing lives. How it is amazing to see how He's transforming families. I give Him the praise, but you as the example. People hear about that. What do? They share that with others. We've got people all over this country praying for us constantly. Why? How many groups have we had come down here since Katrina? Listen, we had groups come and stay with us before Katrina. But since Katrina, it's been like 50 or 60 of them. Okay? In the last 7 years, about 50 have come, either stayed in this place or ministered in this community. Just this summer, about 6 or 7 different groups. Just in the summertime. And that's not counting all the seminary students that were here. What do they do when they leave here? They talk about us. We had someone that was on staff very briefly, a good friend of ours. And I was talking to him after he had left here. And he was talking to this church in downtown area of Atlanta. And this was a church that had turned within. They stopped doing outreach in the community. They were afraid of their neighborhood. And so they just were ministering to themselves, and they were looking at hiring him as a youth minister. And they wanted to know his philosophy of ministry. They were thinking of not just youth, but also as associate pastor. And he said, my philosophy of ministry is that you get out into the community and you see it transformed by God. And they said, well, that sounds real good, but you don't know our community. He says, no, I've seen it happen. And he started telling them about this church. Now, this is before Katrina. Everything kind of got reset when Katrina came. But he started telling them about this church and what he had seen and how God had used this church to reach person after person in the neighborhood and how whole families had been changed. And they didn't know what to do with that. But they heard about Avondale. People all over the country hear about this place. I suspect that Guatemalans have heard about Avondale already through our limited time there. I can't wait over the next 5 to 10 years to see how the name of God through Avondale, First Baptist Church, is spread to Guatemala. All over the world. Why? Why had people heard the testimony of those in Rome all throughout the world? I'll tell you why. Because they weren't ashamed of the gospel of Christ either. They let people know who Jesus Christ was, is, and is to come. They let people know what Jesus had done in their lives and what he would do in any life that was turned over to him. But it all comes back to the beginning. Are you his bondservant? Would you even use that terminology? Would you call yourself a slave to Christ? And if you are you ashamed of his gospel? The same gospel that's changing your life. Why would you ever be ashamed of it? I never forget after first getting saved, going out to eat, and my wife telling me, let's bow our heads and pray before the meal. I didn't know what to think about it. She had been making me do that a long time before I had gotten saved. And I always had been totally embarrassed and just barely bowed my head, one eye open to see if anybody was looking at me. But finally, after I came to know Christ and surrendered to him, I wanted to do that. It wasn't I'm ashamed of bowing my head. It's what an honor it is to bow my head and give God glory for what he has provided for me. Are they going to see at the next table? I hope so. Because maybe then they'll come and ask me why I bowed my head and I'll get to share the gospel with them. What a difference it is when we are not ashamed of the very gospel that changes our lives. We have a 1 month left. Lots of activity. I'm praying for God to use everything that's been going on and transform Avondale, that this would be a pivotal time for us, that we would see a revival start and break out and grow like wildfire. But it's going to come down to, are we his bondservants? Are we ashamed of his gospel? Or are we going to freely live for him so that everyone can see and we'll tell them why we're living that way? Will you bow with me in prayer before the throne of the holy God? Bow your heads and close your eyes as we come before him. As we do that, let me just once again ask you, have you surrendered to him? Have you heard his call, calling you to be his, calling you to the grace and the mercy and the joy that's in him, calling you to surrender your pride, surrender your sin, and freely accept the gift of grace he freely gives? If you haven't done that, why not? Why not surrender everything right now to him? Just cry out, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Lord, take me. Let me be your bondservant. Let me be your slave. Let me know the joy that comes from knowing you. Wash me of my sin. Lord, I am a sinner. I can see my sin before you. You are a holy God. How could I ever try to come to you in my sin? Wash me clean. Lord, I put all my hope and trust in you. What you've done on the cross, the blood that you shed for me, Lord, I take that and ask you to use it to wash me. Lord, give me your Spirit to guide me. Holy Spirit, teach me your word. Teach me your ways. Give me the power to walk in it. And give me a mouth that praises you.